So this is take two. We've never had to take two before. We're trying to do a live on TikTok and do our podcast as well. So we're talking about biblical women versus worldly women and modern day worldly women who, you know, it's not necessarily that they don't believe the Bible, but they live more worldly than they do biblical. You know, and there is a standard, there is a model, and that's the Proverbs 31 woman. That's what, you want to read that? Do you have that?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and read that one. And we'll see what a Proverbs 31 woman looks like, is supposed to look like, and then we'll hop into John MacArthur. And I love John MacArthur. He does a hard word. And so when I was thinking that I was going to like master the Proverbs 31, you know, challenge or whatever, and it wasn't like that. So go ahead and read Proverbs 31.
This starts in verse 10. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. For her earnings, she plants a vineyard. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the staff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates.
Yep. So that's, I mean, she sounds pretty awesome. You know, I mean, she don't sleep.
She works with her hands.
She works with her hands. I mean, you know, but that's because they didn't work. They didn't stay home. And so around the 70s or the 80s, that's when the work, women going to work really started. And, you know, Lisa was telling about a story about TikTok.
Yeah, there was a TikTok that I was watching, and this, she looked like a teenager or young 20s or whatever, but she was crying and was like, who was the women who fought for women's rights so we could be able to work? Like, who are these people?
Yeah, like, you know, you are not our favorite people, because I mean, we're supposed to stay home, but that's a lot of work. And if you stay home now, you're looked as weak or uneducated, or you can't really afford to,
yeah,
you know, stay home, because I mean, it almost takes both incomes,
especially,
you know?
Now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So okay. So John MacArthur, I started listening to John MacArthur on the way there. I was coming into town, and like I said, I thought everything was great. And I was so offended 3 minutes into the sermon, yeah. You know, and that's why I like him, because I don't want someone to kind of fluff me up. I want a hard word so I can change. And so here's the things that John MacArthur has listed as a worldly modern day woman. Okay, so we're just going to discuss them. We're going to kind of be laid back and
are you going to put me on the spot?
No, you'll be able to get it. So this is what he says. Okay, so she works and builds her own career.
Mm-hmm.
So check.
Yeah,
we do that. Demands equal pay. You agree with that?
Yep.
I mean, if you're going to work, I think everybody, you know, whatever. But I would prefer to be the Proverbs 31 that stays home. So I could probably.
I've not always wanted to or been able to say that.
Yeah. So, okay. refuses to submit to her husband. At times. Mm-hmm. That was me. At first, I was like, I submit, but then there's times that I overpower. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I would have to check that box more often, probably, than not. So this started, like, feeling very fleshy. Yeah. And, Lindley.
I mean, thinking about that, and one of the things that Lee said is, like, you know, he was talking about respect and the submitting and stuff like that, and then the husband is supposed to love his wife like mm-hmm. Christ loves the church. And, you know, he was given an example of the wife was like, but he didn't do this. Mm-hmm. Well, it's supposed to be unconditional.
That's right.
Unconditional respect, unconditional submission. But,
yep.
Yeah, that's not one I can
tell. And one thing I've learned is that you're going to submit. You're either going to submit to your husband or you'll submit to God's discipline. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would much rather submit to David than to be under the discipline of the Lord if you're a true follower. Okay, has been divorced a time or two. You've never been divorced because you weren't married, okay? Yep, well, I have been divorced. Let's see. Exercises her own independence. Mm-hmm. Relies on her own resources. Mm-hmm. Doesn't want her children to threaten her personal goals. I can't say that I'm currently doing that right now, but I would say I would have done whatever I needed to do to get my business mm-hmm. started. And, you know, like for me, I don't think that I would sacrifice my career to stay home with my children. I guess that's kind of like,
yeah. I mean, for me, I was a single mom for a long time, and it's just something that I had to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to work. Mm-hmm. I had to make a living, or else stay home and be on assistance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's just not something that
you could do. You could afford to do, you know? Yep. Has her own bank account. Mm-hmm. Me too. I bet that got a bunch of us because, you know, our money's supposed to be we're married. And so, yep, that one got me. But I will say that David and I have since. He's teaching budgeting. He's teaching a budgeting class at our church, Financial Peace. And we have put it together the biblical way. Yes. And we've started a budget. Yep.
So
and that's one thing. That's one thing the budget class makes you do is if you're married, your money is together and you budget out. And I mean, it is at first I was like, oh my gosh, you know, but it's built our relationship. Like we have a little bit more patience with each other because we know we're both working and we're trying to work on this budget and do what the Lord, walk in obedience.
I have a lot of divorce that has been in my family, and watching some of my family members go through that and then being in an ugly divorce and having their bank accounts like mm-hmm. taken, like the money that was in their bank accounts, they just took it all and left these women with nothing. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what plays in my mind.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, divorce is so easy these days. Mm-hmm. And trying to break that cycle of divorce, it's just like when you go into a marriage, and this is what I did, I even kept my own name. I'm not Lisa Willoughby, I'm Lisa Varner.
Really? Mm-hmm. Ooh, girl.
I know. But I was like, I'm convicted.
You are. This is what it does. I'm telling you what. I almost, like, I stopped watching John MacArthur's sermon 3 minutes in.
Yeah.
Because I was rattled. I was fleshy. I was like,
yeah.
Woo, this is too much in my feelings. And I was like, he is a man. What does he know? And so I tried to search for some other sermons on this. And because I was like, I'm not listening to him. He don't know. And, you know, but I had to go back because... Yeah. I want to know what the Word of God says. And there's no excuse. There is no excuse.
Well, my excuse was I didn't get married until I was 35. So I was like, you know, everybody knows me as Varner. So I just left it as Varner. But in the back of my mind, divorce, divorce, divorce. It's the, you know. When things go wrong, that's the first thing that runs in your mind is like, okay, we're going to get divorced. And then I'm going to have to go through all this stuff and he's going to take all my money.
But you're setting yourself up for failure.
And I say all my money. Yeah. There's not a lot of money. But, right. You know.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm trying to get out of.
Yes.
Quit smiling at me.
I am smiling because I love it because I was so convicted of all this. And you were, are you're just like me. Like right now you are caught off guard. You're kind of like, whoa.
Yeah,
I thought I was going to, you know.
No, I mean, I've thought about this stuff before, yeah, but.
This is just confirmation on it. So,
and it's hard. And he's like, you know, we went to my cousin's funeral and I wrote Tommy and Lisa Willoughby on there. And I was like, how did that feel?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was like, felt pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, there's that.
All right. There's
we'll
that.
Move on.
Yeah.
Let's move on. I'm starting to sweat.
I know. It gets kind of crazy. All right.
Can we bleep that out?
No. We're, some of mine and David's worst fights have been over money and things like that, but you have to go into it as a marriage. And I think for mine and David's marriage, he's from a broken home, so divorce was always an option.
Yeah.
And I felt like he was never going to stay, whereas Pastor Lee says, you're in it for the long haul because you've made a covenant, you've made a promise with God, and so...
And I know that.
Yeah, good, bad, mm-hmm. ugly. You have to trust the Lord, and it's. I think that's why, like Jesse and Chris, they're not going anywhere. Like you need to know your spouse isn't going anywhere. Even at times when you want them to go somewhere, they're not allowed because they've made a promise to God. It's more than just a legal piece of paper that we sign. It's a covenant. It is a promise to the Lord, and so no matter. That's why you say till death do us part. We don't take our vows serious anymore. Everybody's looking for a way out. Like, oh, I made a mistake. You know, well.
And that's been the difference is recognizing, you know, there's a contract versus a covenant.
Yeah.
And you made that covenant before the Lord.
That's right.
And so that's, even though, you know, we have thrown divorce out there several times.
Oh, me and David too. Yeah.
Through the years, we both have stayed.
And that's what makes you stay.
Yeah.
Like, if it was just a legal contract, you both could get out of it. But because you've made that covenant with the Lord, you have promised the Lord, you stay.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's the only reason why you stay. And that for me is definitely, and for David too, we both have said that, but it's because we promised the Lord that we were going to love each other in the good, bad, the ugly, and even till death. That's the only reason that kept us home.
Yeah.
And so, but now, you know, 24, it'll be 25 years this October. I'm so thankful I stayed. Now, things still aren't, you know, the greatest at times. We're working, but I see the Holy Spirit working on him, and it just is, it's in me, Lord, he's like, really? So let's get back to this. All right. Whew, that was tough. So at that time, this is when I, with this bank account, this is when I was like, okay, Lord, what are we doing? Like, I'm supposed to be teaching this. I'm supposed to be learning this to teach other women. I'm not supposed to be getting in trouble right now. Yeah. Like, you convicting me. And that's exactly what happened. So, and we don't like to admit our weaknesses or our struggles or anything like that. We'd like to say, but Lord, I'm reading the Bible and I'm doing prayers and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And that's what we like to do. So anyway, okay, so let's go on. He says, she serves cereal for dinner sometimes.
Yeah.
Me too. Peanut butter and jelly.
I mean,
cereal night. I had to object to this one because we had cereal night and there would be five different types of cereal. But a woman of God back then, you know, and I know some of these are extreme. I know some of these are extreme.
Mine's a little bit different. It was called Fend for Yourself night.
Like, you know, I always had one kid that would be like, I don't want cereal. And I'll be like, because they were like, I ate it for breakfast. And I'll be like, I don't care that you ate it for breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, and deep down, I've had a bad day and I don't feel like cooking. And you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be grateful for your cereal. You know, you just kind of turn everything around on them to make yourself feel better for feeding cereal. But yeah, hilarious. I thought that was funny. She has a cleaning lady. Oh, I do.
I was going to ask you.
I do.
What's the rate?
Yeah, I have people that come in twice a month and help me because I have a bigger house because we had four kids. And well, now we only have one kid at the home. So like and I'm working. So anyway, so yeah, I had to check that one too. It was like, check. Eats out 50% of the time.
No.
Me? I mean, I mean to cook, but then, you know, we have all this stuff coming up.
And then so, like, you end up in the drive-thru.
In the drive-thru, because I'm too tired to cook. Gosh, let's see. What else do we have here?
This is hurting a little bit.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's tough. She expects her husband to do half of the house chores. I was seeing no end in sight because, like I was telling you, David does the laundry.
Yeah.
He loves doing the laundry. What am I supposed to do, like, take that away from him? I'm like,
we all do our own laundry. And I don't cook.
We're in trouble. Why do you eat? He cooks.
They'll fix themselves. Oh, something.
I don't know, guys. Maybe we don't we need to be not, the ones teaching them.
No, we do not.
So anyway, oh my gosh, that's so funny. I'm laughing.
He's a much better, this is my excuse, he's a much better cook than I am.
Okay, so she's tan. I mean, we both tan. You don't tan? You don't?
In the summer at the pool, but not like tan in bed.
She's physically fit. That's you. I mean, I work. For me. Like, yes, one for the prodigal.
I mean, I'm fit and fluffy.
Fit and fluffy.
I mean, I do CrossFit and lift weights 5-6 days a week, but for some reason, I can't seem to get rid of the fluff.
I'm not physically fit. Able to compete in the attention getting contest. I mean, I did the worm on the boat. You know what I'm saying? You would not believe how many people were like, I'm gonna need to see that video. Somebody asked me if I got the Cheers package on the boat. I was like, no, I didn't get the Cheers package on the boat.
So well, anyway, I have a problem with
no, attention. You don't. You're very see, you're much better than me. She puts her kids in daycare. Like, I own the daycare. I'm in trouble.
Did your kids go to the daycare?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because I was building a career and having my own thing, you know. Has a TV in her kids' rooms along with the gaming system. Yep. And that's basically don't bother mommy, because, you know, and we leave them to the brainwashing of the world. And then we say, what happened?
If we had known what we know now.
I know it. Yep.
So this is to help all the young moms.
Yes.
We're giving you examples,
yes.
Like, of what not to do.
Yeah.
That's what this is about.
Yes. Yes. She's opinionated. I have an opinion. And at this point, I'm starting to feel sick. I'm like, this is horrible. So, but the last one, she demands to be heard to fulfill her personal goals. It depends on what the goal is. If it's to stand for something, but I don't know. I've come back at people too. If I'm like, if they, you know, not really come back, I like discussion, but of course it always goes, you're always offending somebody or you're always having to clarify something. So
misunderstood.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was crazy. It was almost unbelievable, but that's who the world applauds is women like that. Women who are go-getters, who are very independent. I mean, sometimes women, you have, let's see, what did I put back here? It was so good. It was before how divided we are from our husbands that, you know, we have our own careers, our own dreams, our own goals, our own beliefs, our own checking accounts. Sometimes we have our own bedroom.
We do have a joint account, but he has one, a separate one I have one. Yeah. And then we meet in the middle with.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's good. Sometimes you have your own bedroom. Some women do. And sometimes.
Until he CPAP. I was threatening that.
Oh my goodness, you're so funny.
He's going to kill me.
And then sometimes you have your own homes because of work, because your career is so much. Lindley, that's probably going to, it needs a charge. So because you're just, you know, so busy that you're, and that's just not what a biblical wife is supposed to be. We're supposed to be the helper. So if we look at, who we're supposed to be, and I can't like even defend it, but that's just who we've become as a woman. They have
trying to make it in this world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you basically have to have two incomes. mm-hmm. you know? So, all right. Let's see. That wasn't too bad. I mean, for me, it was bad, but like, Lord, for you, it wasn't bad. It was worse for me.
It seemed a little bad there at the beginning.
Yeah. You're like, I just submitted this. Can we edit or whatever? So it's totally different. And it's because the Proverbs 31 woman, she did all that stuff and hardly ever slept. Hardly ever, you know, she was for her man, for his success. His best interest was always put in front of hers, along with her children. And now we're total opposite. Now, is it bad if you are some of these things? No, because, I mean, no and yes. Yeah. Now I'm aware that there are things that I can grow, areas that I can grow in. But it's hard when you look, and there is a standard. It's not like we're just saying, oh, well, that's just, you know, the women today, things have changed and there's not really a person to go by. But no, there is. Proverbs 31 is this woman that we're supposed to, this is an excellent wife. This is about King, I cannot, what is his name? I think it's above one of ours. Oh, the words of King Lemuel or whatever. His mother taught him these things. And I thought that was really, really neat because...
Well, I had that written down because I was watching a video on a couple that was talking about this. And she said...
Okay, go ahead and share that then.
Well, she said, you know, the writer of Proverbs 31 is a king, and he is writing down what his mother had taught mm-hmm. him. And so she went on to talk about how this woman is a woman that handles the business of her family.
That's right. The man is to lead, provide, and the woman is to be the superhero and just, you're behind the scenes, you make everything happen.
And then this Proverbs 31 isn't something for you to do perfectly. It's something to give you something to aspire to.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So that's something I learned and kind of helped me, like, okay, I don't have, if I'm not filling all, checking all these boxes, here we go with the excuses. If I'm not checking all these boxes, I mean, it still gives us an attainable goal.
Mm-hmm. It showed me my weaknesses in areas that I could improve in. And that's the whole goal for the Word of God, is that it penetrates the darkness in you.
And I did already have in here that I was going to talk about, I don't cook and those kind of things.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit had, he had a plan. He wanted to make sure you didn't leave that part out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was ran through the ringer, and it's not like, I was offended at first because I was like, the Lord, you know, because I didn't plan on being convicted. I was planning on learning about God's word. And so that's what the word does, is it convicts you of the areas in the darkness. Not that it's keeping me from heaven, but these are the areas that the Lord wants to fix to make my marriage all it can be, divine. He's given us a way to live. And this is unconditional. This isn't, well, if my husband does this or my husband does that. We told a story last week where there was a woman who slept on the front porch in the cold because her husband locked her out. And the very first thing she said to him was, what do you want for breakfast? And that changed his life, and he became a pastor. And so us women, we are the glue. We keep everything together. We do our kids, and she does it without sleeping. I require a lot of sleep. You know, so it's tough, but there is a plan for us to be the best we can be, more like Jesus. So, and it serves a purpose. So, okay, you want to share anything over there? I thought that was going to take a lot longer, but it really doesn't. It really didn't.
Well, just, it talks about how she makes sure that her family is fed. So don't feel mm-hmm. bad if you're not cooking.
If you're doing cereal night, it's
okay. If you're doing cereal, or if you're like not going to Walmart because you don't like to go to Walmart, mm-hmm. you use like the pickup list or Kroger's click list. I mean, those are still ways that you're
because
providing.
We do work every day. Yeah. So if we all stayed home like we were supposed to, I really believe the woman's job. And I know that some of you women are like, heck no, I can be. But that's why we're in the shape we're in, is because we're not. you know, we still have to do laundry, and well, I don't because my husband does it, but I do help out. But we have to keep our house clean, or me neither, because I have some, like, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, all these things we should be, but we're busy.
But you're figuring out ways to make sure those things are done. That's right. So you're still taking responsibility and taking
care. That's right. That's, and it's not that you point. don't contribute to the family. You hold it all together. And so if you're off doing something that is about yourself and you're building your career and you're doing your own thing, then you're not taking care of everyone else. And that's what your job is from the Lord. And I know that sounds, a lot of women will say, that's, you know, I don't want children or I don't want to get married or whatever, but this is just what God's word says, you know. And even if you aren't taking care of your own husband or whatever, they were taking care of family and helping. And so anyway, so how do you live biblically, like a biblical woman in today's world that looks nothing like everything's against us?
Yeah.
Just like everything's against a man. The world wants a, what did Pastor Lee say that the type of man that the world wants?
I don't know.
I have it in here. But anyway, the world doesn't want a strong man leading his home in biblical ways. They want somebody weak and, you know, like a little puff cookie, or what is that croissant? What are those things? A cream puff. That's what he said. Yes, I knew it was something puff. They want a cream puff for a man.
I missed that part.
And I will tell you that, you know, David didn't always lead our home. And when your husband doesn't lead and you're going this way with your career and he's going this way with his career, the home is vulnerable. And that's exactly when Satan comes to attack.
And then you end up in a situation where you feel like you both are just meeting in the bed at night to go to bed, mm-hmm. and you're just roommates.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
And God doesn't want that either. Like, he wants you to have a fulfilled marriage.
Right.
And he's trying to give us his word to give us ways to get there,
mm-hmm.
Which is not easy.
No. And you know, I kept trying to throw up to the Lord. But I pray and I read the Bible and I do all this stuff. And he says to us that our stuff is like filthy rags. And it's through it's Jesus's stuff. You know, it just reiterates that there's nothing that you can do. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to do something perfectly. And that's why we have to have Jesus. So, all right. Let's see what else we've got here.
I have some really good notes about an article that I was reading today on the Google. It says, a wife is a partner who rules over creation. In the beginning, God created distinctions between males and females, and this is in Genesis 1:27-28. Culture today tries to blur the lines, but Scripture makes the distinction clear. I find it interesting that after God created everything, he created one human being, a man, and then he makes the woman out of the rib of the man and commands them to produce more human beings until they fill the earth. Women were created from the rib of the man to be beside him, not from his head to top him, nor from his feet to be trampled by him, but from under his arm to be protected by him, near to his heart to be loved by him. I thought that was good.
That is good. You know, there was a part where I don't remember whose sermon. Oh, this was John MacArthur's, where it says she seeks him good, she looks out for him. She desires to build her husband up. And I think so many times, how many times I've just crushed David, or she's concerned about his success. She serves him. She's committed. Her love is so deep for him, and it's all about him. And his joy is her delight. That stepped on my toes too, because that's not my whole day doesn't revolve around David. So I mean, this was very hard for me when I broke it down to who I am versus what this woman is. And there's no way that we could ever be this, but like, you would have to be, I don't know how you would survive in today's time without staying home, but you know, and you'd have to
there are women who are able to do it.
Yeah. Like their husbands make lots and lots mm-hmm. and lots of money. And that's great. And I think that's why Satan shames women who stay home with their children, because they're the ones actually doing what they're supposed to do. but that's just how our world is.
A wife is the crown of her husband. The wife is the crown, but not the neck. And it says Proverbs 12:4, so I'll read that. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness in his bones. Mm-hmm. The Bible does not give wives the role of a neck to control the movement and direction of the head, but the role of a crown on the head. A crown is a place of honor, glory, and recognitions. Wives do not stoop down to the culture's point of view of women. In the verse mentioned above, which was the Proverbs 12:4, the word excellent or virtuous in Hebrew is hayil, which means valor. This word is normally used in a military setting, speaking of a man or army that is strong and mighty in battle. The wording of the proverb is very strong, and it implies the wife has the ability to either be a crown or a cancer to her husband.
Yeah. It's better to have an excellent wife and worse to be the opposite. So this is where it says the crown of her husband. Nothing is better than to be an excellent wife, and nothing is worse in this world than to be the opposite of an excellent wife.
And that one, some of the cancerous behaviors, he lists them out here. He says, chronic criticism is cancer to the life of a marriage, making fun of him, comparing him to other men, disrespecting him publicly, belittling him in front of the kids, shaming him for not being spiritual enough.
I mean, I am like, check, check, check.
Always lecturing and nagging him, complaining and being negative, controlling and manipulating with tears and withholding sex.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Check all the above. Big, fat check.
And it says, wives, if your husband is in the wrong, you can guide him to the right by not criticizing, shaming, belittling, or embarrassing him. When we do that, we actually partner with the devil to destroy our marriage.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating, he says, I'm not advocating for abuse in any way, but wives need to understand the incredible power they have to influence their marriage and their husband's lives.
Well, just like Jezebel, like King Ahab, he was influenced totally by her. And the woman, we have the power as the wife to influence our husbands.
Mm-hmm. And so just think of Eve.
She influenced Adam to eat the fruit. Yep.
But then think about Abigail, who influenced David to not commit the bloodshed. And so she had talked to him in a way that convinced him not to do this. And
how many times do you have to like convince your husband to calm down, or like, calm down, you know, it's not that bad. You know, yeah. You're the reason. You're the reasoner.
Yeah. But she didn't start blaming him, accusing him, or shouting at him. Instead, she used wise words from God. And so that was 1 Samuel 25:32-33.
That's
good. Let's see.
That's real good.
What did I say? 25:32-33. Then David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me, and blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left to Nabal until the morning light as much as one male. And so what happens is Nabal ends up dying, and then David ends up marrying Abigail.
Hmm.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. That's good. You know, no man achieves anything without a strong woman behind him. Because like last night, David was teaching his financial peace class, and you know, I was making sure he had the microphone and he had a seat and he had the books, and you know, so I was kind of like, ooh, I'm being the Proverbs 31 woman, you know? And so you'll start recognizing things like I was convicted and pierced the darkness. And so now when I walk in obedience, you get treasure. I mean, that's just how
and
it works.
And you felt that right off.
Yes, yes. And so like I was taking care of him. I was trying to elevate him and get him, you know, his best interest. And then I told him after it was over that I was so proud of him for teaching. And, you know, there's nothing I'm just going to say it, sexier than me, than David in the Word of God, doing something that is for the kingdom. I mean, that's how it is. And so, so I was definitely letting him know that.
Go David.
Yeah. So, like, you know, and the men are to be watching, like, their home, which is like the garden. Like, Adam was over the garden. He was supposed to keep the snakes out. Mm-hmm. But he was over naming the birds and looking at what all he did as far as naming everything. And Eve's over talking to a snake, and Adam's like, you know, whatever. So the men have a job as well to keep, to be the protector and the one who brings in the, you know, the food and stuff like that. And then we do everything else from taking care of the clothes to the kids. But it's because we're a team,
yeah,
you know, and that's how our money should be looked at as well. So, I'm telling you, this was really tough. We knew it. We said it on Sunday. We both said, ugh.
This is going to step on our toes.
Yes. So, I'm trying to see if there's anything else that I really want to share. She confronts his sin and weaknesses, but she's always loving. Never unkind, and she makes sure that he walks with God. She makes sure he walks with God. I mean, so she is like,
how did she do that?
I don't know. And you know, her children called her blessed and all this stuff. So I don't know if there was actually a woman like this or this is just who this mom is describing. But I mean, that's who they wanted their son to marry, was mm-hmm. a woman like this. Oh gosh. She, you seek that he becomes who God has created him to be. To be the great father, to be a great son, to be a great friend. And so you're kind of like raising another child. But her husband is known at the gates. This is where the business was done. So everybody would do business at the gates. And his reputation was built by his wife. She was doing everything possible to help him to become who he had been created to be. She served him. She gives him her wisdom that she receives from God. And she is behind the scenes. She's verbally respectful for her husband, and because she would gain nothing by bringing her husband down.
Mm-hmm.
So that team is what we have to get in our mind. But I think a lot of times we're so afraid, even with like with David, because sometimes he would tell me like, well, I'll just leave. I'll just get a divorce or whatever. And it was never, even though I had been divorced before, I had been cheated on. I didn't want to go down that road again. And I couldn't really give my whole self because I was always afraid he was going to walk out the door. And that's just something that we've had to work through.
Mm-hmm.
And now he never tells me he's leaving. And it's because I had give him conversation. I communicated to him that I needed him to tell me that he was never going to leave. And so that's important. It's amazing how much our world shapes who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And how far away from a biblical woman. And that just shows you, it's not that you're a failure or whatever. It just shows you that you need Jesus, because it's not by anything we do. And I don't know. Is there anything else you want to share? Any other things you want to
I just wonder,
want
like,
to admit you know and how confess?
The Amish live? No. You know how the Amish live?
Yeah.
That's what's coming to my mind.
Yes.
Like how much...
And we thought they were crazy. Like, seriously, yeah. Like, we're like, oh my gosh, horse and buggy. I mean, I think a lot of it, they go to the some of the stuff, they go to the extreme. But, like, they're women. They stay home. They can. They cook. They take care mm-hmm. of their children. So, I don't know. My son-in-law watches this Amish life or something like that. And, I mean, he's obsessed with them. But I'm really beginning to think, not that they don't have their own within. But, I mean, that's just humans. We're all sinful. We all fall short. But I did get down on my knees. I will say that. And I have this little wooden stool that was my grandmother's. And I just surrendered my whole marriage to the Lord, asking him to change me.
Mm-hmm. That was another thing that Lee said is like, you know, don't look at your spouse. Look at yourself. Like
your relationship with Jesus. Like, I want to be a good wife because I love Jesus that much. That's just who I'm going to be. And that's where you get your divine marriage. That's where you become who God has created us to be. You know, we're not supposed to be this independent woman that is seeking her own career and things like that. There's no changing it now. There's no way of changing that now. But you could gradually start working on yourself, because I wouldn't dare tell, oh, just quit your job and stay home, because Christy and Lisa on the podcast said that's what a biblical woman is supposed to do, you know.
Okay, so when you are older, when you are our age and our kids are grown, like,
I mean, I have every
still
plan.
Not supposed to work, like
people get, I don't know, I mean, it is, I think that we just are where we are, and you can't afford not to work.
And you just try to aspire.
Yes, you just try to
use it as a goal.
Yeah, it's not going to keep you from heaven if you work or, you know, have a career or whatever. But it just shows you that we can do better as moms and as wives to improve some areas, to, like, edify our husbands and lift our husbands up. And
I know one thing that I'm going to go home and do is, like, make a cereal night and make sure I have 5 different cereals.
You know, I had 4 kids. I would always eat whatever one of the kids ate. But David had to have his. Like, he was Frosty Flakes or Captain Crunch. Yeah. And then everybody else had their own favorite.
What was yours, Lindley?
Fruity Pebbles,
yeah. I don't remember what Keaton's and everybody else's was. But it was important to have cereal night. It was important for me, my sanity, to have, because I had 4 kids in the house and working. And so I had to object on that one. I don't know what their cereal night looked like back in the day, but surely to goodness she had to have an off night where maybe she just fed a piece of bread or something. I don't know. Ramen noodles. We even do that. It's like, tonight's fend for yourself night. So, but there's so many areas that we can improve, and this isn't to make you feel bad or to shame you, because look, we were just, Lisa got a little hot during the middle. She was like, but wait. This is
convicting.
Yes. And that's what the word does. So that's kind of why I wanted to spring it on her, to see if the Lord convicted her.
My husband won't watch this.
Yeah. It's hilarious. So we're not going to go anywhere. We're going to continue to talk about biblical women. And because obviously we need it. I mean, I checked almost all the boxes, except... Well, yeah, I checked on most of them, because, I mean, I get the trophy, I get the award, but no, it's not that. It just shows you that you just need Jesus, that you just fall short, and but gives us something to work towards. So we'll see you next week as we're talking more about how to edify your husband and to lift him up. Goodness. I know. This is where we need to be, and I think it's for me and Lisa more than it is for anybody watching. So we'll see you next week.